And I know we need to keep this moving, but you know, there was a question earlier about, can you have a first party trust and a third party trust? I have lots of folks with first and third party trusts, you know?
Yep. I have people with multiple third party trusts and a first party trust with us. It's interesting, you know, I mean, you got lots of family dynamics. You have lots of different things that come along when it comes to trust. Divorced parents is a huge thing that creates a lot of things. So anyway, thinking about that when you're talking about that. The other question is, where are the funds now? You know, there was a question earlier about if it's a life insurance plan. Well, if the funds are currently, you know, if the life insurance is where the money is coming from, you need to make sure that your beneficiaries are correct. You need to figure out where that money is. Think about the tax consequences of those. We talk a lot to folks about potentially moving any of, and Steve is better about understanding all the tax pieces, but as a pooled trust, it's hard for us to do a lot of the things that you could with a typical trustee as far as taxes and IRAs are concerned. And so those are a whole nother ball of wax that you have to think about. And what does that look like from a 401k versus a Roth IRA versus other things like that? So you need to know where those funds are and how it is that they're ultimately getting to that trust. One of the biggest issues that we see is that people don't appropriately name the trust instead of the individual. And so then it has to become a first party trust instead of a third party trust. So think about, where are those funds right now and how are they ultimately going to get over to that trust? So is it upon death? Is it during the life of the individual? And that sort of goes into, when will the funds be available? Is it now? Is it in the future? Is it 30 years from now? What is sort of the idea around that? And how flexible is what it is that you've created? Because the reality is that, you know, if you're doing some planning for somebody who's young, there's a good chance that's going to change in the long run. So you want to think about that as you're looking at how things go. You know, how will the funds be received? I think that's an important thing to know. You know, is it coming, through probate? Is it coming directly to the trust? Is it coming through a living will? All of those things are important to recognize. It's also important to recognize if it's coming electronically, make sure, again, it doesn't go into the individual's bank account. Make sure it comes directly to the trust. Those are the types of things that you want to think about when you're looking at it. And every situation is going to be a little bit different. So that's why you need to really understand the mechanics of those things. Steve, is there anything else to add in
that? I think you covered quite a bit there. All good.
Yeah. Stuff. Yeah. And you know, how much money is it? That's a big thing to think about. A lot of times, people usually think about pooled trust as a place where you just send a trust that doesn't have a lot of money. I'll tell you, we can take the big ones too. But how much will be received? And what is it? Is it just money? Or are there other things that are included in it? Because, you know, sometimes you've got other things outside of just cash money that you're looking at. If there's going to be a home, if there's going to be anything else that's involved in that, you got to think about that as far as how it is impacting your special needs trust. And what's the money intended for? I think that it's important to recognize that some families have a small amount of money, and that money is to be held on to until that individual is in crisis because they know they're going to be in crisis again. Other times it's, no, I just want this person to, you know, enjoy their life. I just want them to have the extra things that we currently pay for. You know, things like that all determine when are you going to fund it? How much are you going to fund it with? All of those things. You know, we have a number of parents who are aging, and they've said, I want to get this trust set up. I want to make sure I get it going so that when I do pass away, nothing stops. And so that these things can continue to be paid for, that, you know, the interruption of that person's life is the least that it possibly can be. When you're talking about people with disabilities, change can especially be hard. And so I think it's important to recognize that when you're looking at all of this, think about what the best way is to set that up as far as when you should fund it and how you should fund it. Anything else on that slide, Steve?
Oh, we could cover so much.
Okay, but I think so much. So we're going to talk about some first party special needs trusts. And Steve, I'm going to let you talk about Ralph.
Okay, good old Ralph here. Ralph's 41 years old here, and he won $63 on a progressive poker machine during a recent trip to Las Vegas. By the way, there really is a Ralph, and there really was $63,000. So while meeting with you, he tells you that he is on SSI and Medicare, and he's getting $1,086 a month. Oh, my goodness, here. So anybody spot an issue there? And Ralph is married and has an 11-year-old child who is struggling in school. Ralph would like to use his winnings to pay private tuition in school for his son, okay? So what's the first thing that, well, Haley, you know the answer. What's the first thing that jumps out at you about his benefits?
They are $1,086 per month, way more than you can have and be on SSI.
Right. So first off, I think Ralph is confused here. As typical, Ralph doesn't really know what he's on. By the way, his attorney probably doesn't know what he's on here. So we need to figure it out. And then you go to SSA.gov and do that. And by the way, we require that in every